Can he still hear us out in the lobby?
Oh, yeah.
Lobby?
I'm sure he can.
Yeah, read the tweets.
Do I want to read the tweets?
Yes, this one especially.
I don't want to cut.
The tweets brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store?
Same. Well, do we have it clipped already or no? We have an answer from Kevin Stefanski. I asked him, you know, who's the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to the quarterback? You got to have a favorite. Come on. You're a head coach. I mean, he knows. Head coach of a football team. There's somebody in there that you want to give the job to, or you are more like, yeah, you always have the conversation. If we had to play
tomorrow.
Who do you
want to win the job?
Yeah. No, 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 no. Who, not there. I think there's a difference in who you want to win the job.
Who you want
and
to take
you
the
would,
job?
Who you would have as your quarterback right now. If you had to win a game tomorrow, who would you trust to go out and win that game? That'd probably be easily said Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. He can't say that. But he stepped away from that answer. He laughed in his own way. But there's something else that people are picking up about the answer. Is that he said, you got four of them.
Here, you want to hear it?
Yes, let's hear it. Out of your active quarterbacks, someone's got to have a leg up, right? You willing to tell me?
Yeah, I'm not willing to tell you.
That's a way to start the question.
Nice try. Yeah, you know, we had an event down at the stadium, whatever it was, a week or so ago, a flag football event for young kids. And I got the quarterback question only 30 times or so from the kids. So we have a lot of young journalists in this town that are doing your jobs for you guys.
Did they have a favorite?
No, I think it's more, hey, you got four of them. Who's starting? I said, you know, it's early, guys. Let's get through the offseason before we get there.
See, I said active. So you could say, like, well, he's not active.
All right, who are the four again?
Kenny Pickett.
Pickett.
Joe, I almost said Joe DeLamalord. Joe Flacco. Yeah. Dylan Gabriel. Shedeur Sanders.
That's four.
There's a name missing. But he then said he was talking to the kids at the event last week.
Well, they got rid of
so
DTR.
He's blaming the kids.
DTR's not there.
Let's not step around who we're not mentioning here. You want me to go take a look down the hallway, make sure the coast is clear?
Might be eating hot dogs. I don't know.
I don't know if he took any of the hot dogs. He's a health food man. So he did not mention you-know-who.
You mean the same guy that Albert Breer and Mary Kay Cabot mentioned this week?
Yeah. Didn't mention him.
Two of the most trusted voices in what could be happening.
I mean, he's coming back from an injury. You know. I don't know, man. Every time you mention him, there's a group of folks online. They always want to go after you.
He was throwing.
He was throwing. Well, I expect him to be able to throw the football,
right?
He was
throwing to Browns players.
He was throwing to the Browns' number one receiver.
So if I take a football and I toss it in the general direction, any one of them guys who play for the Cleveland Browns, you're telling me that I would be a part of the quarterback controversy for the Cleveland Browns? Is that what you're telling me? No, that's not what you're telling me, because that don't make sense. So I have to give credit where proper credit would be due here is what I'm trying to tell you.
What I'm trying to tell you is that if Jerry Jeudy goes out of his way to play catch with you, yeah, I'm going to start thinking maybe you're the quarterback in competition.
I don't know if he went out of his way to play catch. Jerry Jeudy,
I know he didn't go out of his not way.
Jerry Jeudy might have just been walking by, or maybe it was a situation. Maybe it was a situation where, you know, Jerry Jeudy was taking off his helmet, had his back turned, and then he turned around and Ray Liotta walked away, and Deshaun Watson looked over at Jerry Jeudy and said, "Want to have a catch?" Maybe. God. Maybe. You're telling me Ray Kinsella played catcher that whole time, couldn't just take off his mask, go, "Hey, son, it's been me for these many months."
Yeah, the entire time.
Gotcha. That's what they did in Field of Dreams. It just becomes Maury.
Maybe Jerry thought he was playing catch with Kenny Pickett, but it was you-know-who under the helmet.
So you got to think, like, no matter what it is, like we're going through trying to pick out paint for an accent wall.
Yeah.
And I already know my wife has it in her mind. You can bring home four of them. You've already decided in your mind, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a song and dance here of which one do you like? But in the end, we're going to end up picking what she likes. And that's what's going to go on the wall permanently until she doesn't like it anymore. When it comes to the quarterbacks,
unless you spend $230 million on the paint, and then you're probably picking that paint.
Well, yeah, and they did that. And they tried to exhaust every last bit of that paint. And the paint didn't look too good.
They go, "Hey, we still got like 2.5 more gallons of this paint."
Yes, they do.
I got to imagine, right, Kevin has a favorite of who he wants to start week one. I also think of Dylan Gabriel, Shador, you got to have a favorite. But then you also at the same time have to try your best to mitigate any of that bias and allow your practices, your quite literally your best practices here to win out, right? As an evaluator.
Yeah.
You've got to do that. You've got to work in lockstep with the organization, with AB.
That's why I've been trying to say, like, guys, you got to take the labels off. Because one of the things that I've been, and it's, you know, people who are from different media and are national media and drop in on us every now and then. And when you talk about Shador Sanders or when you talk about Dylan Gabriel, Gabriel and Sanders, one was drafted, you know, they all say, like, well, he's a fifth round pick. It's like, well, you got to take that label off.
Well, that's what
because
Kevin.
Because if I just sit there and say fifth round pick, then what's the point of even drafting in the fifth round?
So do you believe Kevin when he says that? Because this is not a first round pick. A first round pick is always going to get more leeway.
You have to, yes, but it's not. And there's not even a second round pick there. So you have to look at this and be as objective as possible. And you were 3-14 last year, so I would hope that he was objective as possible. I think he's going to be. I think he's going to look at it and go, and there's so many things that you have to weigh in. You have to weigh in opportunities. Like, if Shador Sanders gets fewer opportunities than the other three quarterbacks, and he makes the most of those opportunities, that weighs into it. That weighs into it. If a guy gets more opportunities and it's going, man, you maybe, then you have to wonder whether or not they showed you too much and you're being too picky. Because as he said, it's easiest to pick things apart. Like, when we talk draft and we always get, like, guys in talking about guys they like in the draft, it's so easy to say the guys you don't like. You can only pick one. And when you pick one, remember, 32 players are going to come off the board by the time you get a chance to pick another. So they got to be the best when you're going to pick of 32 other players that are going to be there. So it's much easier to pick guys you don't like than it is to pick the guy you do like. There's a lot of pressure on picking the guy you do like. And I think that also comes with quarterback. So that's why I think, in all honesty, as of May 23rd, Joe Flacco's on the roster. I think Joe Flacco should be the guy. It ain't going to be that way. I think it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Unless Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders go out and really impress him, and it should not be based on being a third round or a fifth round pick. You have to be as open-minded as possible. I want to see leadership. I want to see being able to digest an offense and being able to go after a defense. It's harder to do in the preseason, I grant you. It's harder to do. And then you got to put in game prep stuff. That's hard to do. It's hard to emulate. So that goes against those rookies. But you got to be as open-minded as possible. It's not house money to him. We're talking about his life here, for crying out loud. So I don't want to be insulting. But for us, you know, coaches, they come, they go, and we will be here, God willing. And I think for a lot of us, it's like, hey, it's almost house money. Let's see what you do. And so be objective and see how good these guys are going to be. Is that such a bad thing to say? Hell no, it's not such a bad thing to say.
No, it's just
look at me making sense over here.
But every fan has already picked their guy,
yeah.
Which is funny because the fans aren't there. They're not at these practice sessions.
I don't even think they picked their guy. I think they've just picked who they don't like. I think a lot of them have picked Dylan Gabriel because he's slight. I think a lot are picked against Dylan Gabriel because he's slight. I think a lot of people have picked against Kenny Pickett, maybe yours truly, because he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we made all these arguments about why he was not going to be the next great franchise quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that resonates in the back of our head. It's hard to get rid of that. So yes, that is definitely a knock that I would have against me. I'll admit it. And then there's the other thing where, I got people every single time I tweet about Shador Sanders, or every single time we talk about Shador Sanders or anything like that, they are saying that we are wasting our time. They think he's terrible. They think he's a clown. They think he's bringing the circus. They think all those things. And I think that those people probably just have PTSD from all the other bad quarterbacks that have happened in the past. Which, again, it's up to Shador Sanders to prove them wrong. I can't change their mind. My words aren't going to change their mind. So
I got to tell you, though,
we've all picked the guys we don't want.
I think it's easy, though. I think it's going to be really easy to just sit back, watch all of this. You said yourself, Kenny, preseason is going to be awesome this year with these guys. So it's easy for us. I think you just sit back, watch these things play out, hope that they're both great, but, you know, typically they're going to create their own gap, right? Between the two that you really care about.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett, I mean, if Kenny Pickett looks amazing, I don't think that's going to change my perspective on whether or not I think his ceiling has changed or anything like that. Still, really, I'm going to be most dialed in on the rookies. Just that's just the reality of what it is. I'm going to be watching those rookies. Obviously, I know if Kenny Pickett ends up handling all of this and is really good, all right, maybe that could lift their win total, you know, here and there to some extent. But in the end, it's still the rookies. The rookies are the ones I'm most interested in.
He's got to go earn the job, and then he's got to be able to keep away all those other guys. So what does he do to be able to keep away all those other guys? Don't turn the ball over. Go win football games. Because if he starts the season and we are around 500, if we are on the outside looking in, we are going to be in a knockdown dragout with people over who to start. I am ready to learn my lesson about Johnny Manziel years ago. That is the one thing I will make that comparison with. Now, I think that either one of these guys will be way more prepared than he was, certainly. But I was one of those guys, and I hate to admit it because we've had Brian on the show every single week for a long time before the draft. And Brian's a buddy of ours, but I was one of the people who became exasperated after that Colts game. It was a foolhardy decision. Pure stupidity. Because he wasn't ready for it. But I was exasperated. It was an emotional, silly decision. I wish that Mike Pettine would have still not made that decision. But here we are. So I'll go the other way. But it's still going to be difficult because I still think that both these guys are going to be more prepared than that goofball ever was back in them days. I think it's very hard to not be as more prepared as that goofball was back in them other days. But
just getting to the parking lot.
Era.
Just pulling into the players' parking lot and you're ahead of schedule.
Coming in hot.
Just be in town the day of a game.
9:45.
Remember which bus? He couldn't even get on the right bus.
Forgot about that.
That was a good one.
I mean, how do you go from loving football to that? I mean, yeah, I know. There was addiction problems and things like that, but my God. I was going to talk about Evan Mobley. It might become story time. Yesterday, I was on the phone with Tone. I just remembered this. I'm on the phone with Tone yesterday, Owen. And he's trying to get gas. And I can always tell when Lime is distracted. It happens very quickly. There's like a weird silence. And you can hear him going, come on. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. And then you can hear him going, hey, let's go. Let's go. And apparently the pump wasn't working at the gas station he was at. And the lady goes, I couldn't hear you. I didn't know what you needed. Lime goes, what? You think I needed a new wig? What do you think I need?
We're at the gas station. This is what you guys specialize in.
I need a new wig.
Getting me the gas that I need to fuel the car.
Where was she?
What else could possibly be going on?
Lime is getting mad. He's going, I got kids in the car. Let's go.
Well,
let's
and that's, go. That's the other part of it because, granted, it wasn't like a 90-degree day.
Oh, man.
But you know, sometimes you got the kids there. I'm not getting the kids out of the car seat to go do that. So I'm sprinting over there.
Yeah.
And all I keep thinking of is if I have to go home and those kids are gone, how am I going to talk to my wife?
Don't go home.
I'm not going. You're right. I need a safe haven at that point.
They're going
to
go home.
To explain, well, you see, I was lazy.
Don't come home empty-handed.
Yeah. I was lazy, and I didn't want to get the kids out of the car seat and then put them back in the car seat all over the fact that they wouldn't start my gas pump, and I come home without two kids.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah. Not good.
I wanted to go buy liquor one time. I had Axel with me. Axel was a tyke. He was walking. He was like two, maybe. I remember I shouldn't tell the story. I go to the liquor store, and I put the fifth up on the counter, and I sit him up on the counter, and I swear to God, I'm going to hand the lady the card, and he just goes, foop, falls off the counter, jumped off the counter, falls on his ass, and just starts crying, and there's a line of people behind me.
You're going to buy
alcohol.
And
I just realize I'm buying a bottle of whiskey, and it's my whiskey. Guys, you know what type of whiskey. It's Old Crow or Black Velvet, one of the two. And they're just sitting there going, this damn drunken father can't even have a day without a taste around his kid. Axel's crying. And I'm sitting there walking. I couldn't help. I'm laughing my ass off at the just how ridiculous it had to look. Jumped right off the counter. I go, you couldn't have stayed there still for five more seconds.
Can you give me a time
seconds.
Of the day that this happened?
Oh, that's another thing. Because, you know, we get done with this at 10 a.m. It was probably 11:30. It was midday.
Got to fall down drunk hosting the on a morning
Friday
show.
Yeah, at least it was a Friday. I had that.
Lost control of his family.
No, you don't understand. It's Tallboy Friday.
No, that's back when the show, guys, that's back when the show was real bad. No one was listening.
My
so
week is over.
Obviously.
They didn't know who was buying the whiskey then. It was fine. Those were the dark days.
It is amazing.
That's why you had to leave that side of town, huh?
It is actually.
Probably.
He couldn't recover.
Yeah.
It is amazing that once you actually have kids, you seem like you're supposed to be so much more responsible, and you think everybody's watching your every move based on the kids. Really, it's only the women doing that, right?
Yeah.
The women are the ones that are dialed into that.
Sorry. Now I'm just the Otis of Streetsboro, Ohio. That's all I am. All right, I got to say this. So you had a Twitter account over there that read off Evan Mobley's season.
Yeah, so it was defensive.
I feel bad at what I'm about to say.
What an amazing year when you think about it. Defensive player of the year, first team, almost unanimous, should have been, all-NBA first team defense. He's going to be either second or third team all-NBA, and I think he has a chance to be second, which is remarkable. In his fourth year that Evan Mobley is going to be able to do that. So he's had all of these achievements this season. That's a leap, right? Ladies and gentlemen, we could say that is definitively a leap. He was an all-star. You saw how much he was missed, you know, in the playoffs when he missed a game and we were wondering about his health. We thought that kind of doomed him, even though he did come back at the end of the series. So given all of that, is that one of the all-time great individual Cavs seasons?
Looking from the stats. Looking from the stats, yes. Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to say. Cleveland fans, forgive me for what I'm about to say. Guys, I saw LeBron James, and it wasn't that long ago. How am I supposed to recognize that? Now, I do not know as much about basketball as Anthony. It's hard for me to admit that I don't know as much about something as Anthony does, but it's true, even though there's plenty of things I don't know as much as he does.
Well, he's a basketball guy.
He's a basketball guy. And he covered the State House, so that's why I leave the politics to him.
State House guy.
And he worked in Syracuse, so that's why I leave the Syracuse to him. So I was waiting for you to go, Syracuse
Central,
guy.
Central New York guy.
There you go. I saw LeBron. How am I supposed to say that? I saw Kyrie. How am I supposed to say that? I saw, like, that was Camelot in so many ways. Hey, how am I supposed to do it? I know that Evan is still a developing player. And I think in 20 years, I'd be able to recognize, I already know, like, I'm having a fight with myself when I'm 58 about what I'm going to say about the Cavs. Because when I'm 58, I'll look back on this season, I'll go, Evan had one of the great seasons in Cavalier history. But here I am in 2025. At 38 going, yeah, I watched LeBron. How am I supposed to say it's one of the great Cavs seasons? Because where does Evan Mobley's name pop into the great Cavs seasons? How far up the list do we go? Because right now it's like 1 through 10 LeBron, and then Kyrie, and then Evan? Or is it then Kyrie, then Mark Price?
Yeah, Mark Price.
You know what I mean? Like the great Cavs seasons... There is one guy who has a whole lot of real estate in the great Cavs seasons. So it's unfair for Evan Mobley. This sounds really ridiculous to say. Again, guys, forgive me for saying this. You looked at me because you need to talk right now because you looked at me like I was you knew I was going to get killed for saying this sort of thing. You need to let me have it.
Well, okay, given the recent history, like there's no doubt, like Mark Price had some fantastic years and was one of the better point guards. There were a ton of great point guards when Mark Price was playing too, and he stood out like he really did. That team didn't go particularly far either, and then they were besieged by injuries. People don't even realize all the injuries hitting at the same time at the end of Lenny Wilkins and then into the Mike Fratello era, and then that was it. This team, the way the season ended, I think is unfortunately going to... And it's just a reality of where we are in sports today, where it's all about championships, and that's what we debate tirelessly. But unfortunately, I do think it's going to overshadow the 64 wins and all these great achievements by this team and the Donovan Mitchell great season that he had, the great depth, you know, Ty Jerome. Is anybody going to be talking about Ty Jerome's great season? Or are they going to talk about what, by the way, played well in the Miami series? Or are they going to talk about what happened in Indiana where he looked unplayable? That sucks.
I think they're going to look at Indiana. I think it's going to go that way. At least as of right now, I do think, again, in 20 years, 10 years even, because these things go quicker, I think I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, there's a lot of things that I just didn't take. I took for granted because we were too busy trying to win a championship. Like when the goal becomes the championship, you forget about the journey. So when it's the championship, all I can think about now is coming up short for a championship. In 10 years, when a lot of these guys are gone, I'd say probably all of them are gone in 10 years, I think I would say, yeah, this is one of the this is the second best regular season I've ever seen, and one of the better seasons I've ever seen. And for Evan Mobley, certainly one of the best seasons that any player has had as a Cavalier. But on the tippy top of my mind is I'm watching Indiana and in New York tonight, and I know that they fell way short of the goal. This is a tremendous disappointment, just like it was a tremendous disappointment for when LeBron did it. When they messed up against the Orlando Magic. And that was a tremendous, shocking, upset disappointment. And I think that at that time, I probably would have said, well, you know, he's no Michael. He's no this or that or the other. Like, I think I would have said those things then. And now here I am saying it about Evan Mobley. It's not fair. I'm not claiming it's fair. I'm just saying it's true, which speaks of more things. I got Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton playing in tonight's game in the Eastern Conference Finals. Does the rest of the league know them as better than Donovan Mitchell? Are they more special than our guy now?
Yeah, and I put up on social media yesterday, I was like, now that the playoffs kind of overshadow everything, and you've seen the heroics by Halliburton. I mean, this is three. He's been the architect of three insane come-from-behind wins, punctuated with his special heroic play at the end of those games. Milwaukee, he did it in their elimination game. He did it, obviously, against us at the end of game two. And then what you just saw at MSG, where I know it was more of, Nesmith? He hit all the threes to get them back in, but in the end it was Halliburton with just the craziest game-ending sequence you will ever see. And he's done it three times. Then Jalen Brunson. Brunson, who already has gone toe-to-toe with Donovan Mitchell, kind of famously, once when he was in Dallas, and now once in New York, and now he's doing it again. Last year he got injured, so they were kind of denied that opportunity. They were all banged up. But him getting that Knicks team to the Eastern Conference Finals, pretty amazing. So I do wonder now if Donovan, who is beloved, and I said before this year, and before this playoff run, was the one superstar that hasn't gotten far in the playoffs, but yet nobody seems to blame him. I do wonder if now we start talking about a pecking order of players, especially in the Eastern Conference. I wonder, even though we all know, right? Donovan Mitchell is better than Halliburton. But I wonder if it's not going to be perceived that way going into next year.
Is he better than Brunson?
I think it's close. I do think it's close.
I don't think anybody's going to get mad at you for saying Jalen Brunson's better.
Yeah, Brunson.
Say it if you mean it.
I think now, even though I think Donovan's a better defensive player, I think Brunson's probably got the nod. I mean, they've gone toe-to-toe.
I don't think there's a probably about it. Brunson's beat him once in a series.
Twice.
Twice. Brunson's the one who's in the Eastern Conference Finals. Donovan has never made it there. I'm sorry, there's no other way around it. I'll make you an argument every day, all day long, about the Cavaliers being better than the Pacers in the first place, and certainly Donovan Mitchell being better than Tyrese Halliburton. I think that if you were listening in Los Angeles and just for whatever reason clicked on our part of the Odyssey app on accident, and you were hearing two guys talk about the Cavs saying that Donovan was better than Tyrese Halliburton, I'm sorry, I think that there would be people laughing at us now. Like that's what you're known as. You're known as the good team. You're going to have to deal with this following you around. You're known as the good team in the regular season that falters in the playoffs. Three times you've done it. Three times. You were the exciting younger darling getting ready to play the Knicks. The Knicks embarrassed you. Last year, you were, hey, you got to the second round. You lost to Boston. Boston went out and won the championship. All right, it wasn't the worst thing that could possibly happen. You won 66 games this year. You lost in five games to the Indiana Pacers. And from what I saw on Friday, what I saw the other day, what I'm about to see tonight, it looks like a giant wrestling match. And it looks like you got out tough, which is a line we've said a million times over. So it's the better player on the better teams that get the nod. So you know it and I know it. If you and I were doing this in Chicago, and I just grew up a Bulls fan and that's it, and you and I were just on 670, and we were still the same personality. You're a big basketball guy. You watch everything. You see it all. And I'm still, while I'm watching the games and I'm trying to pay attention to the games, I'm still going to be, hey, what's going to happen in the B gap over here? I'm still that way. Guess what I'm going to say? I'm going to say Tyrese Halliburton is better than Donovan Mitchell. And I'm going to say the same thing if we were in Miami. And I'm going to say the same thing if we were in Milwaukee for three times the salary. But I'm going to say all of them.
Is this bad that we are really just now looking at what happens in the playoffs, and that means everything,
yes,
even though it's such a smaller sample size?
It's bad, and it's short-sighted and leaves nothing for nuance. You're right, but that is our life. That's the system we've chosen here in this country about how we see guys. It is not fair. It's vapid, but that's what would happen. I guarantee you there are plenty of greater players than Tyrese Halliburton. Not plenty, but there's better players than Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton, the Indiana Pacers, make it to the NBA Finals? I'm sorry. It's going to be a very frustrating time for a lot of fans out there because he's going to be known as better. And then what did they give up for Tyrese Halliburton? They gave up something for him. So they gave up. I don't feel that they gave up as much as Donovan Mitchell or for Donovan Mitchell, but I thought it was pretty equitable in there. It's going to feel as if, guys, you guys gave up three first-round picks to bring in Donovan Mitchell to only go to the second round while they gave it up and went to the NBA Finals? The series only started, so I don't know how it's actually going to end. But if they do get there, there's going to be hell to pay. That's just perception. And the only one who can change that is the Cavs. Guys, I can fight it all day long and try to give you all the advanced metrics, every single reason why that Donovan Mitchell would be better than Tyrese Halliburton. But in the general public, for the guys driving around on 75 in Detroit, yeah, they're going to think Tyrese Halliburton is better than Donovan Mitchell.